1 Corinthians chapter 7. Simple title of the message tonight, Instructions for the Married. Now, before all of you singles and that check out on me, you know, I mean, it is good for you to know what God says. I think we'll appreciate why he says all this. And so that you, every one of you, by God's grace, you'll grow older, you're going to be in a position to counsel people about marriage. And so you're going to want to know God's perspective on this, and you're going to want to understand why he gives that perspective. And so, you know, it's just good. Remember, right before, because we're not reading this as a letter because we chop it up into messages, but God, through Paul, let's just read verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, God, in essence, telling this church at Corinth, I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, those that used to be married, it is good for them if they abide even as I. It would be good. So Paul, at that time, you know he was single. And so it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they can't contain their flesh, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. But Paul says it would be better if they would remain single. And we've seen this, we'll see it more as we go in the weeks to come in 1 Corinthians, the reason why we'd be less cumbered with the cares of this world. And God's pro-marriage, and that's his plan for, I think I can say this for most, right? I don't know if that's an incorrect statement. So he's not anti-marriage. I'm not anti-marriage. I'm pro-marriage. And it has been and good for me, right? Verse 10 through 16, let's just read this. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Now, just know this. You're going to see this language when he says, yet not I, but the Lord. You're going to find this in other in the Gospels, where Jesus said this. So don't get confused, because then when he says in verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord, it's like, this isn't off the record, this isn't off the inspiration. It's God, but it's Paul speaking something you wouldn't have heard from the Lord, right? So verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife, or divorce his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. You won't see Jesus having said this, but this is still the Lord speaking, not Jesus, recorded in his earthly ministry. If any man hath a wife that believeth not. So you're married, and one's a believer, one's not. That's what this is dealing with. Any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not. So he deals with both. You have a man, got a lost wife, saved man, lost wife, saved woman, lost husband. Verse 13, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not. And if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified, is set apart unto righteousness. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Again, just simple title of the message, Instructions for the Married. I want to give just a disclaimer in case I don't remember this disclaimer. There are not two groups of people, the married and the divorced, and in a church. I may not know all that have divorced and remarried. I think I do, but it's not that important that I know that. I want you to know this. If you're married, stay married. Embrace the forgiveness of God if there's forgiveness that's needed, and stay married. I'm not trashing anybody. And I love this. I think I know all the people. You have the spirit that you want me to preach this strongly. so that we get what the Bible says, but I'm not trashing anybody that's been divorced, even divorced contrary to biblical direction, and you've remarried. If you've remarried, stay married. And so it's not a two-tiered approach, but I'm going to preach this strongly, but it's not to offend anyone. And so I may not know all the history of everyone here, and I'm not thinking of anyone trying to do that, but here's the key. The principle of God's word is one and done. You get married, till death do you part. We have that in our vows. And it is, it's because it's the plan of God. And if you can, and it doesn't mean that you're wrong, God, you just got to love the Bible. The Bible says it would be best if you could remain single. And so, you know, I think we only have three widows in our church. Am I right about that? We've got Sister Carla, my mother-in-law, and Lana. I said, don't forget. Lana, right? And we've been blessed. They are honorable. And so I want to tell you this. It wouldn't be wrong for you to remarry. The Bible says that. You know that? And I know my mother-in-law, you know, she's sad. But it's okay, right? But I love this. You know what I love? Just the two widows that I'm looking at here tonight. You are 1 Timothy 5 widows. And don't get the big head, right? Don't get the big head on that. Just praise the Lord. It's by the grace of God, and you're serving the Lord. That's exactly what you should do. And, you know, the Bible talks about that, right? It's take your time, and I know this. So I haven't talked to you about this, Sister Carla, but I think I know your heart enough that has there been a day you haven't remembered Lee one day? Probably not. My mother-in-law is the same way, and it'll be 23 years this October for my father-in-law, right? So, and I don't think that's wrong either. But you know this, is serve the Lord, do what's right, and if you can, make that your focus. You'll never regret that for all eternity. And God's blessed us because, honestly, this was my purpose since I'm on this. I think you got two options with widows. What I see in the Bible, you're like, two? Yeah, I'm extremely just, it's godly or busybodies. And I praise the Lord that you're godly. Doesn't mean you don't struggle with this flesh and struggle with life and all of that, but I love it that you're striving by God's grace to serve the Lord with all that you have. Thank you for that. It's a great example. And remember this, while you are single now, you're widows. You know, Titus chapter 2 says, let the older women teach the younger women and just instruct them and help them and hang in there, because if we based, whether we feel like it or not, staying married, we'd all be divorced. Okay, maybe not Randall and Rachel. But outside of Randall and Rachel, and then Bill's back there, Bill and Jill, maybe. And Deb and I, of course. but no, it's like, I'm just talking, you know, if you base, it's what I love about my wife is this. We've never said the word divorce, have we? It's not an option. It's not an option for us. And so, I mean, I was going to say maybe we have. If she would have said yes, I'd have been like, when? And we'd had this discussion before you. But it's good, right? And if there's something that says, you know what? Then we probably ought to figure out how to get along. Probably ought to figure out how to get along, right? And so I'll make this statement as well, just in case I forget in the middle of the message. The real challenge, and I think if you understand this, God's one and done, that's the principle of God's word, and it's this, typically my observation, when people get divorced, it may be because he's a scoundrel, but it's usually because he's a scoundrel and he is not. Follow me? It is, and I'm going to make this statement, and I don't know if I agree with it. God hates all divorce. I agree with that. So just so you know. All right. So the part is that it's his issue. Okay, I'm gonna say this lightly, but just hang in there with me. His issue is not so much divorce, but the plan to divorce and then go find somebody else. That's an issue more than anything. Okay? And he says this, if you leave, stay unmarried. That's what he says. And again, I tell you this, this is to believers. It's lost people. They would be wise to follow God's instruction. But again, I'm gonna hopefully give you a little bit better reason tonight to understand why this is a big deal. Why this is a big deal as a believer that I would maintain my marriage and the commitment and the covenant before God that I've made before God and witnesses to my wife. Why does that matter? So all that's just a preamble. But basic principles of marriage, the first one is don't divorce. Look at verse 10 and 11, if you will. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. You know, in Malachi chapter 2, just verse 16, you don't have to turn there, but it just says this. It says, for the Lord God of Israel saith that he hateth putting away. That's another term for divorce. It's these men would get a young woman, and they would, you know, they would, then she gets old. And then they get rid of the young, get rid of the old one, and they're treacherous to their wives. And so God hates all divorce. Period, period, period. Though he gives concessions to allow, under certain circumstances, divorce and remarriage without sin, he hates all divorce. He would want us to do everything we can to stay married. And so it does for our singles in here. It is why it heightens the importance for you to make sure you know who you're marrying. There should be overwhelming evidence that they are a true believer in Christ. They're pursuing Christ. They're honoring Christ in all things. So I think I put this on. It'd be helpful for you because this is so many words. Turn to Matthew 19. I've got it on the screen, but I think it'll be good for you to see as well. This is Jesus giving instruction about marriage and divorce. And in the Levitical law, it allows for divorce. And the Pharisees were going to try to use this against Jesus because they wanted him to be a violator of the law. They wanted him to transgress the law. They wanted him to break the law. But they never were successful at that. Praise the Lord for our eternal sake, right? But Matthew 19, verse 3 says, the Pharisees also came unto Jesus, tempting him, because they wanted him to break the law, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? I mean, that's what the Jews were doing. And you talk about, you know, I still say this today, it's harder to be a woman than a man in the 21st century. You know, and so, but you talk about 2,000 years ago, it was like infinitely harder to be a woman 2,000 years ago than it is today. And so it's, men have abused the authority and leadership God has given them, and we've done that through the millennia. And so understand this, it was worse then, and men would discard their wives for the next best thing. And is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now Jesus then, he says, and Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Do you know that? Wherefore they are no more twain, they're no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You'll hear that in wedding vows many times. You see that what God had joined together, let no man put asunder. And you must understand that. That's, we want marriages before the Lord. We want God to bless. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? Okay, I think that's a legitimate question, but not with their bent. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. So Jesus, and so I'm going to oversimplify today. I've probably said this from the pulpit before, and it's really not the three D's, but it'll help you remember. There's three D's that would allow for divorce and remarriage, death being a form of divorce. You know, so death, your spouse dies, you're allowed to remarry. The instruction I see from God's word is focus on the Lord and serve the Lord, and if at all possible, right, that would be better, so that you would focus more on God's kingdom and the things of God, right? So death would be one form of divorce, one form of separation that would allow you to remarry. Adultery, right? So fornication, adultery, right? So it's going to be this. We're going to see the third in here later. But I know it starts with an A. Just remember, adultery, right? And so I told you about our kids. Did I ever tell you this? I think in the pulpit. You know, our kids, when they're memorizing the Ten Commandments, they literally thought this, right? So we hadn't taught them what that was. And thou shalt not climb adultery. Sort of, right? And but it is, they didn't know what adultery was. But so death and adultery, I want you to understand this. In the case of physical unfaithfulness with a spouse, God hates all divorce. His desire is that you and I would work it out. It is, he understands the frailty of us. That is super difficult, is it not? To imagine that, right? And, you know, it's overwhelming. But if you can, and I've seen it done, and it is amazing. And the reason why it's worth even trying is the honor of Christ. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. And I would instruct people. We don't want to have some kind of 8/10 of a marriage. We want to have 100% marriage, and that's what makes it tough, right? Because you can't say, "Oh, we'll stay married, but you'll never touch me again." I don't think that would be biblical either. I'm not saying there's not time and healing and all that. Okay, I'm not saying that all that. I'm just telling you that, you know, death would be one form of divorce. You're allowed to remarry. Adultery, you know, fornication here. I don't like to use the word, but I'll use it one time tonight. Sexual unfaithfulness. Okay. And so I literally believe this is physical. So people have brought this up, and I know it causes great harm and it's great difficulty. Not a pass for either the man or the woman. And I know this. Jesus says, if you have lust in your heart toward a woman, you're guilty of adultery of the heart. I do not believe that's what he's talking about here. Though it's painful and terrible and awful, I would counsel you. I don't think that would be meeting the standards of physical unfaithfulness that I think he's talking about here. You can disagree with me. That's okay. Work through it. Men, women, whoever's having that struggle, get help. We'll help you. You can overcome that, okay? And so, I know I've just had that question, so that's why I bring that. So we got death, adultery. I know it's adultery. And then the third one will be desertion, and we'll talk that in this passage as well. When they leave, he says, let them depart, and you're no longer under bondage. But you won't find that from the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, all of these was because of the hardness of our hearts, and he would prefer that we never, ever divorce. And so this is the Lord Jesus Christ giving us his perspective, and he answered them biblically. He answered them good, and he all of a sudden, for any cause, no, Jesus said, the only cause that you'll hear from my lips is the cause of physical unfaithfulness within a marriage. And so second thing, principle of marriage, reconcile or remain single. Look at verse 11. He says this, look at verse 10, we'll just add, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. And so, you know, just let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. So, and I'll tell you this, I've seen it, and I am it is a testimony to me. I've known people, you might know people, that divorced because they didn't like their spouse. And what I love is they take the scripture seriously and they go, I left for no biblical reason, but they drove me nuts. And I won't remarry. I will tell you, that's difficult. Particularly when it's moms that have children and all these kind of things. The honor of Christ is better. I've watched them. Man, it's honorable. God didn't say it's difficult, right? He didn't say it's easy, but he said, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. So let me just talk to the married people. You want to divorce your spouse because they just drive you crazy and you didn't know what you're signing up for? God would not be happy with that. If you do, you should remain unmarried. You know what I think that does? Really drives you to reconciliation, right? Because so many people are like, I can find a better make and model than you. Right? My wife hasn't been looking, as far as I know. And so I love that. And so you know why? She is stuck. And it's not that, and don't have the spirit of being stuck. I tell you, what I love about my wife, and I tell you this all the time, she likes me. You know, I'm not worried if nobody in this room likes me. Everybody likes to be liked. It's a big deal if my wife likes me. I like that. You know, I tell you, she's not all there, but I'm glad she likes me. And I tell people this, she would stay married to me because she loves Jesus, but the amazing thing is she likes me, and I know that. And I thank you for that. Men are that flaky. We're that flaky that it matters to us that you've got a secret pom-pom and you're going, go Steve, right? So I know, we're that flaky. But it's reconcile or remain single. It will help you because, your spouse is going to get on your nerves, and if you just understand this, let's get along. Let's figure this out and do that. So basic principle, don't divorce, reconcile, or remain single. If they depart, and so mixed marriages. What I mean by mixed marriages is saved and lost. As I know that term's used in so many different ways, I'm talking about a born-again believer and a lost person. Just turn over quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I remind you of this. I don't think I've brought this up in our church services. I have in recent Bible studies, but I don't think I have here. I may have. I can't remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this is just a simple principle. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord with hath Christ with Belial, or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, or a lost person? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And so, understand this, the principle of God's word, for those that are single, don't marry a lost person. Don't marry a lost person. Now, some Baptists, and I respect this, some Baptists don't like me, only because of this. Be not unequally yoked. We are in a day and age that, and you say, Steve, what is yoked? Right? I'm convinced yoked is, you've been living with them for some period of time, you have children, and that's yoked. And so I will perform marriages even in situations because I want them to be right before God, and I'll talk to them, I'll counsel them, rather than if one's saved, one's lost, have them live in fornication and sin. And so I'm not trying to be a rebel. I'm not trying to be difficult. You tell me what's yoked. Kids need a dad. Kids need a mom. I'm not trying. And so I want to tell you this, if they were married, God says stay married. And, you know, so I've had these conversations with so many people. It's Ohio is not a common law marriage state. I wish it was. Many, many states have 6 years, you live with somebody 6 years, that's common law marriage, and if you separate, then there's going to be the same rights and all of this for divorce. It's okay if you disagree with me. I'm just trying to sort through the scriptures and help people, because I've told many people, I would tell them, well, you can either leave or you should get married. And I'll talk to people. And so, you know, it's if they're been living together for years and they have children, I think it would be better if they married and then trusted the Lord in this case. So you it's okay if you disagree with me, and I'm open for learning and growing. I'm trying to honor the Lord in difficult situations. America is the easiest place in the world to deal with that. Okay? Guess what? Oh, missionaries. Ha, ha, ha. What you will deal with, right, is like, how many wives do you have? Well, praise the Lord. Don't divorce any of them. You guys understand polygamy is so rampant in Africa. It's crazy, right? One little side note, so I want you to get mad all at once, not in little bits and pieces. So, it's so complicated, you know, like in South Africa, right? So, watch, you guys should be like, we're leaving. You know how it is with, I forget what they call it, you know, where they got the cows and this and that, what's it called? Yeah. The dowry, but it's called, they call it something else there. La bola, right? So it's this, you know, you get married, you know, the family with the girl is going to try to get rich, and it's cows and goats and all kinds of stuff, and you got to strike an agreement. And I told him, I said, hey, guys, I said, look, you need to marry these people. Fornication is so rampant in South Africa. I said, you need to marry these people, do it in a private ceremony so they're right with God, and then deal with the family later. And sometimes they look at me and I go, yeah. And they're like, go back to America. And you're just, you know, I want to help people be right with God. And if you don't have cows, get right with God, right? We'll worry about the cows later, right? And so it is, look at 1 Corinthians 7:39. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:39, and then I'll jump into this. God's word says this, 1 Corinthians 7:39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. You see, remember I told you, death, she can marry. If he's dead, she can marry. She can divorce and remarry if there was physical unfaithfulness in the marriage. But again, God hates all divorce, right? And so it's mixed marriages. Here's what he says. Look at this. If you will, he says, don't divorce. Look at this, verse 13. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. God says this, because you got to understand the church of Corinth. I think I've talked this publicly. This would be the logic. People get saved, and this would be good human logic. This is not bad thinking. So like, if Deb was saved and I was lost and we were in Corinth, right? And then this would be, you know, Deb's saved and I'm lost, and Deb's just loving the Lord, and I'm like, it's the dumbest thing, superstition, you know, you just, you know, a crutch and all the criticisms. And we've got three kids, and Deb's like, you know, my husband's going to destroy my kids because he doesn't love God, and we're going two different directions. And the best thing would be that I divorce him, and in those situations, you know, that would almost require, you know, from a human perspective, find another man. Logic would say, get rid of the lost guy and find a saved guy so that you guys will be going down the same path, the same direction, And God says, no, I hate divorce so much, I'm telling you, if you have a lost spouse, you should stay married and trust in me. That's how much he hates divorce. And so he says that. Look at verse 14. He says, I'm gonna make this statement. God will protect your children, and your spouse may get saved. Look at this. Look at verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. I don't know what all that means. To be sanctified means to be set apart unto righteousness. There is some sanctification, some setting apart, some blessing from God for that that saved wife to stay with her unbelieving husband, and they will be sanctified. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be saved, because that they must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the believing wife is sanctified by the husband. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Understand this. Here's the principle. You saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When a clean thing gets with an unclean thing, what's the outcome that comes from that clean and unclean thing? Everything would be unclean, unholy, dirty. And so then your logic would be, well, I have a clean thing, someone that's saved, with an unclean spouse, and so they're polluting our children, and so I must separate from them so that we would be holy and honorable unto the Lord. But here's what he says in verse 14. He says, look at verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife so that your children aren't unclean. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. This is the closest thing I've seen that you honor the Lord, and it will be tough. And you're going in this direction, and you're going in this direction. And so, Luis, you know my instruction for you now that you're single, right? But imagine you were married, and then you get saved, and what would the Bible say? Stay married, right? So don't you dare go getting married and then say, well, we're married, so what are you going to do, Steve? It is just listen to God now, right? Listen to God now. Do not let them get your little heart, right? Because then you know what? You won't listen to me, right? And so it is parents. You need to be scoping out who your kids are talking to and all this stuff. There's 37 steps now in before you get married. I don't understand them all, right? I mean, I didn't even understand it when I was young, right? I mean, I asked, would you go with me, right? I mean, that's what I asked my wife. Would you go with me? And I was so terrified. She'd go, where? I go, down the hall. Let's just walk. But that was what that meant was, I want you to be exclusively mine, right? Then I gave her my class ring, and she put a bunch of dental floss on it and put, fingernail polish on it, right? And it was like some huge thing on her finger, and I'm like, she's mine. It's bigger than the diamond ring I got you, right? And so then we temporarily broke up, right? So my class ring is somewhere on I-275. So when she gave me that back, I threw it out the window. It was cubic zirconium anyway, so it didn't matter. And it wasn't real, as if it, was fake. It wasn't real gold, because I would have been like, finding it. But it was, what was all that about? Super difficult if you're going in different directions. Here's what God says. Honor him. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's right. Honor God. And I love this. God says, I'll sanctify the husband so that your children aren't unholy. Now, you're going to have some extra responsibility. Walk with God. Trust in God. But I love this. God says, I hate divorce so much that I'm telling you, stay, if I can say, stay unequally yoked. Because you're already yoked. Married, right? And so he says he'll protect your children. He'll sanctify your spouse. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't think I put this in my notes, did I? Nope, I didn't. 1 Peter chapter 3, right before 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right after Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 3, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 3. it's one of my favorite passages, but this, so, you know, if you know people, I'm giving you this not only just for you, because you're going to be asked to help people in counseling. 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, likewise, ye wives, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, this would indicate that they're lost. Any obey not the word. You got a husband that won't do what's right. They're lost. They also, without the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or the life. That's an old English word that means their life. They also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation or your chaste life, your separated life, coupled with fear. God says this, and this is so important. If, you know, in any situation, beating people up with words, I think we ought to witness to people. We ought to witness to family. But you're not going to win your family by berating them with words all the time. You need to live it. You need to love them. You need to show it. Yes, you need to speak it. But it's particularly in this instance in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, let the wife win the husband without a word. Your chaste life, your chaste conversation, may it be so unique that you'll win your husband without a word. And that's what it says. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? And again, it's God that saves, but we would rescue our husbands, rescue our wives from the wrath of God. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? I love the Bible. There's always hope. And so it's super difficult. It may take years. It may take decades. And so mixed marriages. And so then I want you to see this in verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage. What I mean, I believe this. This is where I come up with my third D. I got death, adultery, and desertion. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. The bondage is you're not under the you're not bound by the law anymore. I believe if your spouse deserts you, and you can't reconcile, I think you should do all you can to reconcile, all you can to save that marriage. And if it can't be saved and they've departed and you've tried, then he says you're not under bondage. So I tell people this. It's death, adultery, and desertion. And again, I remind you, God hates all divorce. And so we ought not to have an eye on divorce so that we have an eye on the next spouse. We ought to always have an eye on Christ. Now, I get phone calls. I haven't had a phone call from here in a long time. I get phone calls, and here's what I'm going to say. If it's usually, I will say this. Are you saved? And so if the answer is no, then I'll say, okay, well, we'll figure out how to get you saved. Okay, so there might be a temporary time of protection, but that's not the departing that it's talking here, but I will tell people this. I love Baptists. I love Baptists. They'll disagree with me. This is not to give you an out. I believe a form of desertion, I'm just going to tell you what I believe, and you can disagree with me, is if a husband beats on his wife. I will never, this is me, and you should know what kind of pastor you have, I will never recommend a woman subject herself to that. I believe that's a form of desertion of the man and his responsibility. And so I will tell you, that's not to give you an out. That's not to give you an excuse. And I'm not talking, and by God's grace, it's not happened in our marriage, but I'm not talking if, you know, your husband slaps you. That's sin, evil, wrong, and terrible. It should never happen. You follow me? I'm never excusing that. Make sure you understand that. Never excusing that. But I'm talking, you've got a situation where the husband is abusing you physically, and it's unsafe. I don't think God would expect you to stay in that. I think he's deserted his responsibilities, and he's departed from his responsibilities just as much as he left the home. That's my perspective. I tell you this, in every case, God hates all divorce. I would probably remove the woman and her children, and we'd find a safe place for them to be, and I would counsel and try to then restore the marriage and help the marriage. You follow me? I believe that in all instances, we ought to seek reconciliation. So now here's the principle. For our singles, are you beginning to understand why the Lord talks about it being so complicated? Because the world's thought today is you get married, if it doesn't work out, just get divorced and then try the next one. That's not God's perspective. God's perspective is make a commitment. And I'm telling you this, I don't have, now people have to meet with me when I'm going to marry them, but I don't have a lot of criteria. I'll say, are you both saved? If there's evidence they're saved, I'll say, well, you can have a great marriage. You know, I'm not worried about personality types and all of that. If you love Christ, you can have a great marriage. And so it's honoring Christ. You can honor Christ in a difficult marriage. I think one of the greatest ways we can honor the Lord is by putting him first, and it could be suffering. Again, I'm telling you, I'm not where your life's at risk and all of that. I don't think the Lord would have us do that. And so here's the principle. You get married, it's forever. And so then I tell you this, enjoy it. That's your woman. That's your man. Make it work. You know? I mean, that's your woman. Yeah, you guys, you know? As Steve was here, that's your man. Make it work. Make it work. Make it work. Make it work. Better get it right. You make it work. You know, I just point to people. Make it work. And don't be so terrified. I talked to a young person recently, and they're like, well, and they gave me all this criteria. And they're like, well, I will never marry a man. And they were like, all this. And I said, you should never get married. I told them that. I said, because your expectations are unrealistic. And it sounds like you don't really want to be married. So I said, just serve the Lord. And it's, marriage is awesome. I love marriage. Let me just tell you, it has helped me. Two principles that have helped me in my marriage. One, divorce is not an option. And two, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We got to make it right. So, you know, I usually don't start an argument until the sun is down. It gives me 24 hours to brood. I'm just kidding. But the principle of God's word is don't go to bed until you make it right with her. Now, there have been times that we've agreed because I'm a talker and I want to talk it out. We're going to talk it out. You know, I out-talk my wife all the time. I know that shocks you. But there's been times at 2 or 3 in the morning, Deb will be like, can we just agree that we're reconciled and we can finish talking about this tomorrow? That's okay. You know, but it's important. I think, you're going to tell me how many times. You tell me how many times we've gone to bed angry at one another in our 37 years. 3. I was thinking 2. So she exaggerates 50%. No, I'm just, but I will tell you, we regret all 3 of those times, whatever they were, right? I don't remember what they were. It's a simple principle that says this. We're going to be married. We probably should get along. It humbles me, right? In that same 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, if I don't take care of my wife, my woman, and I mistreat her, you know, it could be emotionally, it could be, mentally in any way, my prayers will be hindered. And I never want to come into this pulpit unless I'm right with God and right with my wife. And in that order, you better believe it. I need God and I want him to hear me. Marriage is good. It's for life. Rejoice in it. And with that, when God commands us to do something, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Learn to smile. Learn to be happy. Even if your spouse is difficult, enjoy what God has and And then I'll finish with this. You know, the Bible says this. You've heard it too many times. There's no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven. Jesus will be enough. And so I think I'll know that Deb was my wife, but there'll be no attraction or anything like that. Christ will be enough. And so I want to tell you this final thing. I forgot. I wanted to tell you this. I've been mulling this about. Why is it such a big deal for Christians? This is a big deal for Christians. Christ is the bridegroom. I didn't have this in my notes. Sorry. Christ is the bridegroom. Who or what is the bride? The church. Okay? And we're going to have some time this summer to help you understand what that is. And so it's this. When we divorce, oh Christian, we misrepresent Christ. When you read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia, remember this, he said, you've left your first love. And he says, if they depart, let them depart. But he is, you see what he's doing with all of those churches? Only two churches didn't have negative. He's going after them, isn't he? That's what the beautiful story of Hosea is. Hosea went after Gomer over and over and over again. And the Lord will go after us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is a faithful bridegroom. He is committed to his churches. And when we break that picture, it's similar to when Moses struck the rock twice. That seems like not a big deal to me. I mean, it's a big deal, okay, but in the grand scheme of things, but Moses messed up the picture. He messed up the picture. Christ was only struck once, and then he said, Moses, you talk to the rock this time. When we divorce, and this is, again, you guys, understand this. I love all our people. There's not two classes of people here. When we divorce as Christians, we mar the picture of Christ in his church. Everything comes back to Christ. And this, final thought, my third final thought, it is this. When we reconcile in the most difficult circumstances in marriage, physical unfaithfulness, you know, it could be even, you know, they're just been unfaithful in how, whatever way. And you make it work, you represent Christ. He has never stopped loving me, and he is faithful. And if we get to do just one scintilla of a representation of Christ by suffering and enduring and loving, and you're going to get, a lot of Christians get bad counsel, okay? It is this, you honor Christ. And that's what makes everything worth it in eternity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people.